This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Eating processed food for every meal isn't healthy for people or for dogs. We all know that. And kibble is subject to multiple rounds of high heat processing, making it an ultra processed food. The Farmer's Dog is real, fresh, healthy food with whole meat and veggies gently cooked in human-grade kitchens to preserve their nutritional value. My dog, Barnaby, loves the Farmer's Dog. When he sees me pulling one of those packets out, he comes running. It's personalized, vet-developed, and it has recipes for as little as $2 a day. Meals arrive in pre-portioned, ready-to-serve packs, and they're conveniently delivered on whatever schedule works for me.
Get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/happier. That's 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/happier.
Hello and welcome to Happier, a podcast where we discuss cutting-edge science, the wisdom of the ages, lessons from pop culture, and our own experiences about how to be happier. This week, we'll talk about why, if you're having a problem, you might consider showing need, not anger, and we'll talk about an intriguing five senses know yourself better question. I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, and human nature. I'm in New York City, and joining me today from Kansas City is my sister, Elizabeth Krepp. I just saw you in Kansas City, Elizabeth. It was so fun.
Yes, it was awesome. That's me, Elizabeth Krepp, a TV writer and producer living in LA, and I am back in KC for the first time since Christmas 2019.
Yeah, and I went to go see you and Adam and Jack and our parents, and you and I had not been face-to-face since Christmas 2019. It didn't feel like so much time had passed, but it really had been a long time.
Yes, and Mom and Dad and I were all saying, as soon as we got there, I mean, like 10 minutes later, it felt like I had just seen them yesterday. So
yeah.
Anyway, but it's so nice to be reunited and not go so long, hopefully ever again.
Yes, and you're recording from the laundry room, which is our new studio, Casey's studio in our parents' laundry room.
Live from the laundry room.
Live from the laundry room. And Elizabeth, speaking of Kansas City, a few episodes ago, you mentioned how much you were looking forward to hearing a particular sound of KC.
Yes. When we were talking about our five senses of the summer, all of mine took place in Kansas City, and I wanted to hear the cicadas, and you and I got a clip of that.
Yes, we made a recording when we were together. Chuck, will you play the recording?
Gretch, we're here in Kansas City, and I'm loving these cicadas.
Yeah, listen to that.
My favorite sound, one of my favorite sounds.
It's Kansas City in August.
Yep. And Gretchen, when you left last night, the cicadas were even louder, believe it or not. I was like, oh, I wish we were recording now. They were so loud. And of course, I love every second of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, before we launch in, we are getting ready to do our Ask Us Anything very special episode coming up next week. So thank you so much to everybody who's already sent in questions, and please continue to send in more questions. We're really looking forward to doing that. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes.
So listen, this week our Try This at Home tip is, if you need help, show your need, not your anger.
This sounds wise, Gretchen.
But
explain how you were inspired.
Yeah, so we were in an airport. Liza, Eleanor, and I were in an airport a while back, and we were getting ready to board. And as we were standing in line, a young woman came up to the gate, and she was visibly distressed. She was shaking. And she kept saying, but I have to be on this flight. I got a notification on my phone that said that it wasn't boarding for an hour and I'm here now. And they're like, oh, but your flight left an hour ago. And she's like, but I have to be on that flight. And the thing that was interesting to me is she kept talking about like, oh, well, she'd had this notification that had been wrong, that had given her the wrong information. But she didn't dwell on it. And she just kept saying, I have to be on that flight. I have to be on that flight. And they were saying, it's okay. We'll get you there. We'll find a way and, you know, calm down and like, we'll fix this. And I thought, and I even said this to Liza and Eleanor, I was like, if it had been me, I think my instinct would have been to say, it's your fault. You screwed up. And then the whole conversation would be like, who screwed up? Who got it wrong? I'll show you my app. They'll tell me why they're right. I'm wrong. Yeah. And the whole thing would have become about accusation and blame, you know, apportionment. But instead, because she was just like, I need to be on that flight. And she was so visibly distressed, it made others want to help her. And I was like, she was really wise not to get distracted by anger, which would have made others defensive, but to just sort of insist on like, I need help. And I just thought that is a much more constructive frame to approach this problem, because the fact is it didn't matter whose fault it was. At that moment, what mattered was she needed to get wherever she was going. I don't even know where she was going. That was clearly the most important thing. Put aside who's right, who's wrong, who screwed up. And also like the desire to exonerate yourself, to be like, I missed my flight, but it's not my fault. It's someone else's fault, which I would have been very distracted by that. Who cares? Nobody cares.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's Gretchen, I'm like you. I think my reaction would be to get angry, even though intellectually I know that's not going to help, because people don't want to help you when you're angry at them.
No, it makes them defensive and it makes them angry.
And I will say Adam is the opposite. Adam is like, he'll be totally nice, totally sympathetic. And he, you know, if I get angry about something, it really bothers him. Rightly so. So I have seen this in action. I mean, I've seen myself be the person who's like, but we clearly stated this when I called and I don't want this. And it's just obnoxious. It's just that we get very, you and I, and I think many people, it's like you have a physical reaction to these situations, as this woman obviously did as well. But it leads to anger as opposed to just asking for help.
Yeah.
And it is not constructive.
Well, I was talking to Mom and I was saying like how one time I got really, really angry and frustrated because I was in a hotel. And you know how in a lot of hotels they have these like really innovative, confusing ways of like, how do you turn the lights on and off? How do you get the shower to work? So I was standing there, I was all undressed and I could not figure out how to get the shower to work, which of course you feel like such an idiot.
Yes.
So there I was freezing cold, I was naked. I couldn't get the shower to work. So I called up and I started saying things to the person, I don't understand why a hotel of all places would have a technology that's unfamiliar. You know that none of us have been here before. I'm like, this person can't help me. It's not this person's fault.
Yes.
And mom said, oh, I have a friend who's just like, she's seen her just be like, oh, I don't know, but maybe you can help me. I am really in a pickle. Like really just not being angry, not showing frustration, but just showing like, wow, I really need help. Maybe you can be the one to help me, and inviting others to help.
Yes. Now, Gretchen, I will say the problem with this try this at home is when you're in this sort of moment is exactly when it's hard to be mindful.
Yes.
So it's going to take practice. I don't know that it will happen all at once. We have to like state an intention.
Yes.
And then when we slip up, state it again. And over time, hopefully we'll evolve out of these unpleasant defensive reactions and we'll be more likable.
We'll be more evolved. Well, and the thing is, like speaking for myself and from previous experience, probably what will happen is like for a few seconds, maybe many seconds, I will be very angry.
Yes.
I will be pointing the finger. And then I'll be like, I'll all of a sudden it'll be like, the idea will occur to me, hey, go a different way.
Yes.
You know, and then I'll redirect myself like even in mid-sentence. And one thing I want to say is, you know, people might say like, well, this is being inauthentic. Like you're faking it. But I do think that in many situations, we're experiencing a mix of emotions. We're feeling angry. We're feeling frustrated. We're feeling worried. We're feeling insecure. We're feeling stupid. We're feeling angry at ourselves. We're feeling anxious because there's something really important that we're not able to do. And you can decide, well, which one am I going to let dominate? Or which one am I going to express through my physical thought, my physical actions and expressions? Because clearly, like the woman I saw at the airport, she was distressed, but I'm sure she was also angry and she was also defensive. But because what we were seeing most clearly was just the dismay at having missed what was clearly an extremely important flight, it brought out a different response in others. And she wasn't playing a damsel in distress. She was just somebody who was like, oh, and we've all been there when it's like, I have to get where I'm going. I have to get there.
Yeah.
And anything that gets in the way is just, you know, you don't know what to do with yourself. It is, like you say, it's so unpleasant for other people to be on the other end of all of that negative emotion. It makes them less capable of responding constructively.
Well, yes, because then they have a physical reaction to your vitriol, not yours, but one's vitriol.
Yes.
And so, everybody's then caught.
Yes.
So I think this is so good. I just know it's going to take some doing on my part to implement it.
Yes, we'll have to like,
but
keep
it's a lifelong lesson.
Yeah. But and also I would just as a drive-by callback, I would say that a good thing to remember in such situations is something we talked about a long, long time ago, which is to say to someone, what would you do if you were in my shoes?
Yes.
Because often that helps everybody stay constructive because it's like, well, what would you do?
Yes.
That also is kind of calming in situations like that. Well, let us know if you do try this at home and how showing your need and not your anger or frustration works for you in a difficult moment. Let us know on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Drop us an email at podcast@gretchenrubin.com. Or as always, go to the show notes. These are the complete show notes that are on our website, not on the app. That's at happiercast.com/339.
Coming up, we've got a happiness hack that will help you make a night more special. But first, this break. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive.
I know that when I've been hiring, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to find quality candidates. It's really hard to handle the process. Hiring is easy when you have lots of quality candidates, like with LinkedIn Jobs. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. There are some stories from our mother's life that I love to hear about. I love hearing about how she played with a tin dollhouse when she was a girl. And just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for our families forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother and mother figures for years to come. And it makes a wonderful keepsake book so you never, never lose these wonderful stories and memories.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, like, what was your favorite toy as a little girl, or what was your first job? All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years, Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/happier. That's storyworth.com/happier to save $10 on your first purchase.
Okay, Elizabeth, now for a happiness hack. And we're always looking for ways to elevate a situation, but, you know, things that are not difficult to do, things that are not expensive to do. And a listener had a great idea of how to elevate a moment without much time or expense.
Yes, this comes from Diana. She says, I wanted to celebrate two close friends. I elevated our dinner party with two giant balloons in the shape of champagne bottles, easy to get at our local party store. It made the night feel so special and gave them a memento to bring home. Gretch, how have we not done this?
I don't know. You know, and I, first of all, I love a helium balloon. And balloons are so fun, but I only think of them really for children.
Yes.
And I never thought like something that's specifically like, congratulations. That is really, really fun. And Diana sent a picture, and you know, they were all kind of socially distanced outside in the front yard. You know, so it was casual, but the champagne bottles clearly made it like, ooh, we're having a big celebration.
Festive.
So I feel very festive, and again, kind of that personalized touch that you're always saying, like the more personalized something feels, like the more special it feels. And it really did change the whole look of it. And so, yeah, this seems so simple and so fun.
Yeah, and side note, I think a lot of grocery stores now have, you know, you can get a balloon there and they'll fill it for you. So, because I always think of getting balloons as such a to-do.
Yeah, right.
But I think it's gotten a lot easier just to get a balloon filled up. So, I'm going to do this. Thank you, Diana.
Yeah, I don't think they do that in New York, but I have seen that in other cities. And it might be worth just like taking a look to see what's on offer for the future, because it might be the kind of thing where you don't need a giant Cupid now, but then 2 years from now, you're like, oh, I'm having a Valentine's party. Maybe I should get like the giant red Cupid. And you just know then that it's there. So excellent hack.
Thank you.
Okay, now for a Know Yourself Better question. Now, of course, I'm always thinking about the five senses. And I just love thinking about the five senses. So one of the senses that I've been exploring, obviously, is the sense of touch. And I think a really interesting question is, when it comes to texture, what do you enjoy most? And I put this on Facebook because I was curious to see what people said. So I got a lot of interesting comments on Facebook. But so listen, let me start out by asking you, okay, here's my question. What do you enjoy most? Something plush, warm, and fuzzy or furry, like a dog or a heavy robe. Something smooth, cool, and fine, like a silky scarf or polished crystal. Something gritty or rough, like burlap or a sandy beach. What are the textures that you enjoy?
So I really like that smooth, like the polished rock, like the rocks, you know, that you can go and they have a big
crystals bin
and you can make, I love that smooth feeling. And I was thinking, Gretchen, remember when I was young, I would always ask for satin sheets.
Yes.
I wanted satin sheets. I never got them. Maybe that'll be something I get myself in my adulthood.
Well, you have your blankie, which is your precious blanket that, you know, is like your most important like non-family item. It has satin.
Yes.
And so do you pay special attention to that, or it's just part of the whole blankie experience?
Yeah. Well, it's so tattered at this point that it's not the same. But yes, it had a satin rim around it, which I always loved. Now, it's not too satiny now.
Yeah. But and why did you want satin sheets?
The same thing. I love that feel of just smoothness.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people have satin pillowcases, and maybe I should get myself one.
Well, and I think that's also about like your hair and your skin and everything.
Yes.
But it's very cool.
Yes.
Now, see, I like things that are more velvety and plush.
Interesting.
Like, I like things like velvet or like springy moss or like really thick cotton socks. I like that plushness.
Mm-hmm.
One thing a lot of people mentioned, well, they mentioned dog fur and cat fur, but many people mentioned dog's ears. And I'm like, I keep meaning, every time I see Barnaby, I've forgotten to do this, but I'm like, I never really noticed the texture of his ears. But I'm like, maybe I'm missing something. I got to like check out that.
Yes, dog's ears are very silky and soft.
Oh.
They're known for that.
I don't remember that, particularly with Paddywhack or Schnauzer or Barnaby, but I'm going to check that out. A lot of people also mentioned cotton or linen, especially that had been much washed. So it's sort of a combination between rough and smooth. I thought that was really interesting. But the thing about this Know Yourself Better question is once you've identified something that gives you particular pleasure, then you can look for ways to amplify it. Like Elizabeth, you're thinking, well, maybe I should get satin sheets or a silk pillowcase, or maybe I, Or maybe for your birthday, I would give you a polished lapis lazuli crystal that is like a beautiful color to look at, but then is also like really soothing to hold and to enjoy the texture of it. Or maybe I would buy a velvet pillow because I think, oh, well, not only would it look nice, but it would be something that I would enjoy just like rubbing my hands against and having the pleasure of that physical experience.
It's just funny because before we discussed this, it never even crossed my mind to try to incorporate smoothness into my life. But now it seems like such an obvious thing to do.
Well, it's funny because ever since I started studying touch, it's like, you know how you're always like, don't touch, keep your hands to yourself. Yeah. I'm like touching.
Yeah.
And once you start paying attention, like there is so much pleasure in it. I was in the Met because I go to the Met every day, and there are these giant Egyptian sculptures made of gray wax, which I didn't know what it was, but gray wax, you just want to like lick it. You want to touch it. It's cool. It's gray. It's smooth. It's like just incredibly tempting. And there was this giant sarcophagus made of gray wax. And there was somebody, no kidding, just full on rubbing his hands against it. Like he was washing a car, not just like sticking out a little tiny, you know, surreptitious finger. And I'm like, does he know you're not supposed to touch? Because I was like, do I need to report him? Fortunately, I like kind of looked around to see if a guard was noticing, you know? And then the guy stopped and walked away. But I was like, I know what that feels like. I mean, I've wanted to do that too, because sometimes you see something and you just so much want to touch it.
He was probably a rebel, Gretch.
Well, think about what you love to touch. Let us know, because it is fascinating to hear what people like. Oh, wearing shoes and not wearing shoes. I have to wear shoes, but a lot of people love the feeling of texture under their feet. Mm. I can't stand that, but some people love it. It's just once you've identified it, once you know yourself better, then you can amplify it, as we said, and that's so fun.
Yes.
And now a listener question. So, of course, with listener questions, often we will propose an answer, but sometimes we kick it back to you, listeners, because this is beyond us. We need everyone to weigh in to help someone solve a difficult challenge.
And this week's listener question, we are going to throw out to you all for answers. We are keeping the person anonymous because it's a touchy subject. She says, I need your help with a coworker who never stops talking. I am a single woman in her late 20s who struggled when we had to work from home during COVID. The loneliness was too much, so now that we have the option to come into the office, I take advantage of it. Coming into the office is not required, so only a handful of people do so. During COVID, my team gained a new member who also now decides to come into the office. His desk is right next to mine, and most days it's just me and him. He is also mid-20s and lives alone, so comes in for the company too. The issue is he is the most talkative person I have met. He asks rhetorical questions all day long about things that are not work-related. I do enjoy idle chat here and there, but he does it all day long to the point where it's really affecting me. I tried the headphone trick, but he will expect me to take them out to talk to me. I have started to resent him, which just makes it worse. I really do not want to resort from working from home again, so I did not know what to do. Tough one.
That's a tough one because, I mean, the first response that you have is, wear headphones.
Yes.
But she's tried that. And so it sounds like this is somebody who's really ignoring her cues. Like she's trying to send out the social message, like, I'm working, I'm concentrating, I'm not in a place where I want to have that chat right now. And he's just not picking up on that. So like the subtle things are not going to work.
Yes. One thing I would say, Gretchen, is to say, like, for the next 2 hours, I really need to concentrate on work and not talk, like to go over and declare it.
Yeah.
And what will probably help is if she puts it on her, like, I'm going to be really tempted to talk. So help me and don't talk to me and don't, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like she wants to talk. She just can't talk.
Exactly. I mean, it's hard because they probably both are just so starved for social companionship that they want to be there. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't know what he's usually like because he's new. Was he always this talkative, or is this because of isolation from the pandemic? Yes. And when things all hopefully go back to normal, he won't be that way.
Yeah. Maybe he'll be different. And also there'll be more people to absorb it because part of the problem now is just the two of them.
Right.
Yeah. And it's funny that their desks are right next to each other. I wonder if she could, without being obviously obnoxious about it, like pick up and move into like a conference room if there's an empty conference room and shut the door so he can't just lean over and talk to her. But that may not be possible depending on the computer situation and whatever.
But this is clearly a problem that many people deal with, Gretchen, even pre-pandemic.
Yes.
I think this is one of those problems that arises for everybody at some time. So I'm dying to hear what our listeners have done to cope with this issue.
Yes. So let us know. We will return to this with everyone's suggestions because, as you say, it's something that comes up in a lot of different contexts, which is basically someone keeps talking to you. And we experience this as third graders when like your neighbor keeps talking to you and you're getting in trouble for talking to your neighbor. And you're like, I'm not talking to my neighbor. My neighbor's talking to me.
Yes.
And I don't know what to do.
Oh my gosh. That is so true.
Yeah. What do you do if your third grade teacher isn't marching over and establishing good work circumstances?
The modern day version of that, Gretchen, is with remote learning and Jack's class, who's messaging who? People messaging each other during classes. It was the new
whispering to your neighbor.
To their neighbor. Yes.
Passing notes.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah. Okay. So let us know your suggestions. We need to know.
Coming up, I've got a gold star for our mother. But first, this break. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions.
We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at dell.com/welcometonow.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, as we both are, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. Gretchen, we got Greenlight for Jack, and I love that it teaches him financial independence. Mm. He can earn money from us by doing chores and then getting money deposited into his Greenlight account. He can keep track of what he's spending.
Millions of parents and kids use Greenlight to learn how to make responsible financial choices. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/happier. That's greenlight.com/happier to try Greenlight for free. greenlight.com/happier.
Okay, Gretchen, it is time for demerits and gold stars, and you are up first this week with a happiness demerit.
Yeah, so I mentioned that I'm working on my book about the five senses, and as one of the exercises that I'm doing for that book and research, I'm doing what's my album of now, which is when I'm trying to create a record of just what's in the refrigerator, what's in the drugstore, what does my closet look like, what does my bedroom look like, just to create an album of now. And I got sort of halfway through it and then got stuck. And this is the demerit. This is the kind of project that I know from experience is much easier to just start and finish, like get yourself organized and like do it in one stretch. And I got stuck in the middle and now I'm going to have to retrace my steps because I'm like, what did I upload? Where is it? you know, I've made more work for myself because now I don't exactly remember how I set everything up. Whereas if I had said, like, you know what, I'm not going to let myself stop until I've completed this, it would have been, I would have had the satisfaction of finishing it right away. And I think now I'm going to have to just do a lot of redundant work to just figure out how I left things. And I kind of knew that at the time. And I was like, oh, no, well, I'll come back to this in a couple of hours. But of course, now it's been weeks.
Yes.
As so often happens. So yes, that's my demerit. Yes. I got to go back and do my album of now, which now, okay, now is now many weeks ago. So when is now? But Alyssa, what is your gold star?
Okay, I am giving a big gold star to Mom. So Gretch, when I, as I said, I'm in Kansas City, and when I arrived and I put our stuff down in our room, I saw that Mom, totally unbeknownst to me, had made this huge scrapbook from my wedding.
Yeah,
which
gorgeous.
Was like 14 years ago now. but it is a huge, it's this gorgeous shade of green, first of all, the actual book. And it says Elizabeth and Adam on it. And then you open it and it follows our whole sort of wedding history from the save the date card, which, by the way, I told Mom I forgot we had a save the date card, to the invitations for my shower and for the rehearsal dinner, which were so gorgeous, and the wedding. And then what she did, which is really great, is in each sort of section, she put an envelope and put printed pictures from that event.
Right. Well, that's like an album of now from the past.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so I have all these great just photos of friends and family, and you know what they were from, you know, and the exact date. And it is just gorgeous. And it has like a sketch of our wedding cake. And I mean, it's just so beautiful and thoughtful. And, you know, Mom does everything to perfection, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this was her pandemic project, which I had no idea she was doing. Total surprise. And it's so thoughtful. I would, as you know, Gretch, never have done this. This would never have happened. No. So thank you to Mom for this amazing thing that I'll have my whole life and treasure that I didn't even know was coming. It was just this gift from the blue.
Well, and it might be even more fun to have it now than if you had gotten it like 6 months after your wedding.
Because
now you're like, I forgot about that dress that I wore to that shower. Oh, gosh, I remember how. Like, so much time has gone by that now it's all like exciting and fresh.
Yes. Yeah. No, it really was wonderful. So thank you to Mom for that.
Gold star to our mother. The resources for this week. If you are giving one of my books as a gift or you want to personalize your own copy, you can request a free signed book plate. I'll share a direct link to the request form in the show notes, or you can go to GretchenRubin.com/resources and request a signed book plate. I'm very sorry. I can do these only for the US and Canada only because of mailing costs, but feel free to ask for as many as you like within reason. And do you know that I have a dedicated resource hub related to the four tendencies? This is new. If you go to GretchenRubin.com/four tendencies, F-O-U-R tendencies, you can learn more about the framework and about how to apply it in various settings, like at work, with families, with sweethearts, children, and to help you build the habits that you want to master. Mm. Elizabeth, what are we reading?
I am reading Lady Parts by Deborah Kopakin.
And I am reading two books right now, The Waves by Virginia Woolf. My summer of Virginia Woolf is going slowly but surely. And Open House by Patricia Williams.
Mm, good title.
And that's it for this episode of Happier. Remember to try this at home. When facing a difficult problem, try to show your need, not your anger. Let us know if you tried it and if it worked for you.
Thank you to our executive producer, Chuck Reed, and everyone at Cadence 13. Get in touch. Gretchen's on Twitter at Gretchen Rubin, and I'm at Elizabeth Kraft. Our email address is podcast@GretchenRubin.com.
And if you like the show, word of mouth really is the best to help us find new listeners. If you are listening to us right now on a device, look on your screen and at the bottom, you'll see a way to click through to send an email or text to someone with a link to this episode. If you know someone who you think would enjoy the show, please send them the link so they learn about us. But not if you're driving, of course. It really is a huge help to us.
if you can do it safely.
Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Kraft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us. Onward and upward.
Gretchen, speaking of the laundry room, can you see, like, mom and dad have such a good background? They have all these gorgeous photos hanging in the laundry room. It's better than my background in my office in Encino.
No, and it's like that terracotta orange color. It's very flattering and, like, interesting on the screen. I know.
No, it's the best background I've had since pandemic is in mom and dad's laundry room.
Right. But if you pointed it the other way, it would not be quite so scenic.
That's true. That is true. I don't know about you, but I'm always looking for ways for my son to get involved and give back in our local community. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Student Visionaries of the Year, a campaign by Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, the largest nonprofit organization dedicated to creating a world without blood cancers.
Student Visionaries of the Year is a 7-week philanthropic leadership development program for high school students. Participants form strong teams and fundraise in honor of a pediatric blood cancer survivor in their local community. This program is transformative. It not only helps students develop valuable life skills like project management, communication, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship, not to mention it looks great on college applications, but most importantly, is also a chance for them to engage in meaningful work within their community and make a real impact on blood cancer patients and their families. You can learn more about Student Visionaries of the Year or even nominate a student at lls.org/students. That's lls.org/students.